here we go. If you asked if I was on, my ears are not too good. But we are in the Tuesday morning class, Gusto Bible Women's Bible Study, and we're in the Glory of God, week three. Can you believe it's week three already? Wow. The heavens shout. The heavens shout. And it's September 24th, 2024. I've got to ask you this. How many of you read the handout for this week? Okay. I could do my devotional time on these passages and on what God has been teaching me. This handout, it's just, and it's not that I haven't taught this part before in Sunday school. I think it was one Sunday, but this is who knows how long ago. But this is amazing. Now, last week we talked about the Hebrew word glory, and it means what? Weightiness. It's kavod in the Hebrew, and it's all who God is in his revealing of his glory. And his glory is all who he is, his attributes, his character, his inherent qualities, his reputation that he wants us to know about. That's why he reveals himself. And remember, we don't attribute the attributes to God. He reveals those attributes. He reveals his glory. And we learned last week that his glory cannot be concealed. And I mentioned 2 Chronicles 2:6. And when King Solomon was given the charge to construct the temple in Jerusalem, he said, "Since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, who can build him?" God, a temple. And in response to that reading, even as we read, because when we study the glory of God, we realize that he reveals his glory and he expects a response. And I know some of you have said, and I can understand, I am coming alongside of you, that I never really saw scripture in that way, that there was a response. I don't know what I was thinking I was reading when people responded, but that's huge, that there's a response expected in the heart of God. And even in reading 2 Chronicles 2:6, in reading any of these passages, we lift up our voices, don't we? We lift up our cries to God. We can be doing it silently at home or loudly at home and in worship too. And that's definitely response as we seek to glorify him. So my question, my big question to you is, do you know that the heavens shout? The heavens shout. They truly do. That's why I needed to find out how many of you had read this, because that's not going to make any matter to you right now if you haven't read that. But the heavens indeed shout. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament." The firmament is the expanse of heaven, the expanse of the skies. The firmament shows, it displays, God's handiwork is on display, the work of his hands. And the universe reveals the majesty of its creator. And of course, God's glory can be seen in many, many different aspects of creation, not just the heavens. Okay, I want to underscore that. And I wrote those down in your handout. I better get the handout out so I can see where you are, as I'm seeing where I am. But consider the intricacy of a living cell. Consider the birth of a baby. The complexity of the diversity of life on earth. And you know what? I wrote this down in my journal because God gave us a gift of life on earth. Not that I had a baby, or not that I'm going to have a baby. I didn't mean it that way. I'm talking about animal life right here. God brought to our front yard a Gila monster the other evening. And as a Gila monster, have you ever seen a Gila monster? They're so colorful. They're beautiful. I imagine that there are different kinds of Gila monsters. But walked up our driveway and it was seated, it was just placed, it placed itself by our garage. So I'm in tune to that, looking for that Gila monster, like when I step into the garage. I don't think it could squeeze into the garage. Now, But it's beautiful. God's creation is beautiful. And then there's the mathematical precision of the laws of physics and chemistry that I know nothing about. I'm just telling you that they are precise. That this God is the creator. And these all elevate, when you think of the creation, all the aspects of creation, these all elevate the creativity, the intelligence, and the power of God. And what is our response? We bow down and worship him. And we are in awe of him. And we surrender ourselves. Well, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Why does the Bible single out, this is rhetorical, why does the Bible single out the heavens as declaring his glory? Perhaps the heavens declare the glory of God in a special way or in a greater extent. Hang on to that. But not only did God make the universe beautiful, he made it unimaginably, in my mind, I can't imagine, large, massive. And we are the capstone of his creation. We are the pinnacle. Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. And think of the universe, and here we sit, we're the pinnacle of God's creation. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. We are made with will, intellect, and emotion. And God gave man the task of ruling over the earth. Don't ever forget that. When I mention that, I get looks from believers. But if you don't know these verses, we talked about them in the last 2 weeks, but pretty briefly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and verse 28. God gave man dominion over the earth. And Genesis 1, that's before the what? Before the fall, before sin entered the world. Okay, we don't have dominion over the earth now, but will we have dominion over the earth in the future? Amen and amen. Read Daniel 7, verses 13 to 14, and then verse 27. Did I say Daniel 7? Yeah, so Daniel 7, 13, 14, and verse 27 in Daniel 7. Because God's plan can never, never, ever be thwarted. How many of you love to look at the sky? In the daytime, at the nighttime. What's our galaxy called? The Milky Way. It contains over 100 billion stars. And the Bible says that God calls them all by their names. And the verses that I've given you, and I'm on page one, are there. Psalm 147:4 and Isaiah 40:26. How amazing that God calls every star by name, every one of those stars. But he's God. What am I thinking? He's God. Of course he does this. And our galaxy contains more than stars. And Nancy, I didn't tell you that I was going to do, we have a couple of Nancys, but Nancy McLeese, maybe Sarah filled you in. I was going to ask you, last week you shared, it was either last week or it might have been the week before, you shared with us a wonderful panorama of the Montana sky that you were privy to this past summer. Can you explain a little bit what you saw?
I'll try.
Okay. You might want to stand. Is that okay?
I was in my granddaughter's wedding, Montana, and outside of Livingston,
you
got
to put that.
Nobody knows that area. But anyway, the sun went down and it was dark, and I looked up. I was reminded of what Kathy's written in the first chapter, the first paragraph here. I've never seen, I used to live there for 40 years, but I saw it, but this was a reminder, because we don't see here what you see in a place where there's no smog and stuff. And even though there have been fires and all that smoke, the Lord, for the way, cleared the sky. The wind blew a little bit, and all of a sudden, but anyway, later, it was like, a tool is that they make wedding veils out of. that's what, if you shone a light through the tool, you would, that's what, how many stars there were. Not the big stars, you know, all the planets and all that stuff. But it was just this mesh of stars. I don't know, stars? Yeah. I mean, I hadn't recalled it, and it was just amazing to me, and I thought exactly, this is the glory of God.
Yeah.
Only God can create this, and it goes on forever.
And who does this point to? God. And I remember you're using that term mesh, and I had just done some study, well, during the summer, for this lesson, and I came across nebulae. Nebulae. How many of you have ever heard of nebulae? Whoa, I'm impressed. Okay, because I hadn't, but I'm from the Bronx. You don't see many stars or nebulae in the Bronx. But, and nebulae are made of the same stuff, quote unquote, as the stars are, and that would be hydrogen and helium, okay? And, but they're not, nebulae aren't compact like the stars. They're spread out over a larger area. One nebula can be spread out over a larger area, and it consists of an enormous cloud of dust and gas occupying the space between the stars and acting as a nursery for stars. You know, it's beyond me, but I sit there and think, wow, God, you are amazing. You are so artistic. You are so magnificent. And a nebula, one, is not only beautiful, but it's also estimated to be more massive than 10,000 suns. Wow. So when we consider, this is bottom line, when we consider the immensity of our galaxy, which is not the only galaxy in the universe, with its 100 billion stars and the countless nebulae, and the overwhelming character, or the overwhelmingness of God really comes to mind and heart. Our Creator is, that word again, but He's overwhelming. And how does the Bible, this is funny, how does the Bible describe the creation of all this? When we read, especially in Genesis 1, Genesis 1, 16 simply states that, I'm thinking of it the way I think God wants me to read it, in a way, God also made the stars. Also, you know, that was just, you know, nothing to God. Because He is so immense, He is massive, He is beyond that. But it's such a casual, simple statement in Genesis 1:16. And when we contemplate all that God has created, it brings to mind to me this verse, it's in your handout, Psalm 8, verses 3 to 4. When, and this is a psalm by David, King David. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, just think about that, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. Okay, the work of your fingers, scripture is really miniaturizing the magnitude of the universe in the presence of God. His fingers created these galaxies. These stars, His fingers, okay? I realize God is spirit, but it's highlighting who God is and His enormity, okay? And what is man, David asks this, that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him. How gloriously loving of God to continue to bring to our minds not only His love for us, but His plan for us as human beings. And that we are indeed the pinnacle of creation. Sinful, yeah, ever since Genesis 3, ever since sin entered the world. But God restores, God transforms. And I haven't mentioned those four words this semester yet, which I usually always mention. Four words which explain the big picture of the Bible. And they are creation. If you know what I'm saying with me, creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And every book of the Bible fits into that. those four words. Okay. So it is clear that we are the capstone and that we are going to be serving the earth in the future, in the millennial kingdom. But let's look further at Psalm 19:1-4. King David wrote again, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." And I've got to say, I've heard that before, and I thought, I have no idea what that means. And I never took the opportunity to look that up until this past summer, especially in verses 2-4, okay? Basically, God, in all his might, announces who he is, and the heavens shout out the glory. And it is a symphony. These are little cues, or clues, I should say, if you haven't read the handout, okay? King David looked to the heavens, and he saw the heavens of the blue sky, and the day, and the night sky, and he saw the glorious sun, and the variety and movement of clouds, and the beauty of sunrises and sunsets. Do we get caught up in that? I'm looking at Wendy. And I say caught up in a good way, in a positive way. Because when we smile, when we are observing all that's going on in our world, and there's a lot of movement in the sky. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. There's a lot of movement. That is our response to God's glory. And I gotta tell you, the most beautiful sunset I ever saw was in Bloomfield, New Jersey, as I was coming out of shopping at a Shop and Go. And I looked to the, I gotta think of where I was, to the east. And it was sunset. Looked to the east of where I was, and I said, I've never seen a sky like that. Now, I don't travel a lot at all. It amazes me that some of you might be saying, yeah, well, I'm going to go to Tanzania, and there's a group of us from church who are in Tanzania now. And, or I'm going to go to Morocco, or I'm going to go to the Yukon, or I'm going to go to Paraguay, you know, on and on and on. So I don't travel a lot. So when I saw that sunset, it was amazing to me. And isn't that great when God shows you things that you've never seen before? You could be all alone. You could be looking out your window. I remember a day, a Sunday, when in the Bronx, it was after church, and I was looking out the window and it was snowing. And I usually don't like, I didn't like snow in the city because of the commuter traffic, it got all dirty and black real readily, but this was Sunday. And it just, the way it fell, I thought, I never saw snow like that. And it was glorious. So these things I'm telling, these are things you can write in your journal that's regarding the glory of God. I wasn't a believer at that time, so I didn't know anything about the glory of God. But I remember that. And isn't it grand that God gives us remembrances of those special times when he is elevated, when he is highlighted? So David is seeing this. He's looking at the heavens. And with our living in metropolitan city, you know, we're fifth largest or something like that. And don't you love to drive into a section of town at night? Perhaps a bit elevated with no street lights and gaze at the sky. And if it's a clear sky, so many stars, like Nancy was talking about. I can only almost imagine what you were seeing, Nancy. But in our neck of the woods, we live east, we're north, and we don't have street lights. And when there's a clear sky, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And what does, when you see that, how does that make you feel? Leaves you speechless. Doesn't it humble us too, again? And that's a response to God's glory, indeed. So, and in the night sky, David viewed, and we're still talking about Psalm 19, as does our Wendy view the moon, and she's always great about texting us in her thread. you should see the moon, and you were telling where it is, you know, how the fullness of it, or the new, well, if you have a new moon, that's a no moon, right? You don't see the moon. So, but you see it waxing and waning, and some of you might be thinking, waxing and waning, I have no idea what that is. Is that something you do? I don't know what it is. It's when it changes from a no moon to a full moon and then back again. And then the moon orbits the earth, and the earth orbits the sun, and everything is moving, like I said. So how many of you saw the super harvest blood moon last Tuesday night? Okay, the earth and the sun and the super harvest moon lined up in space, and it caused a lunar eclipse, which was a partial eclipse. And a super harvest moon occurs when the full moon's orbit is closest to the earth. That's why it looks so big, okay? And this is God's artwork, isn't it? Magnifying his glory and all who he is. And I will say that David, and it's underscored, and it should be in bold in your handout. David, no, it's not in bold, but it's on the towards the bottom of page one. David heard the glory of God as it was declared. And you're saying, what do you say, Kathy? He heard the glory of God? I know you've been talking about seeing the glory of God. What is this? He heard the glory of God? So, the heavens declare, I'm going to read again, Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows God's handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. Okay, some of you are thinking, well, David was on this earth approximately 1,000 B.C., okay, 3,000 years following creation. So how could David have heard? I mean, this is what some of you might be thinking. When have the heavens declared the glory of God? What is the time frame of this declaration of God's glory? Just at creation? Wasn't it just at creation? How many of you have thought of that? It's just at God's creation that this was heard. And why am I emphasizing declare? The heavens declare the glory of God. Declare in the Hebrew means to recount. And I'm still on, I'm on the last sentence on page one. Let's turn over. In Hebrew, declare means to recount, to retell, to tell again and again. Now that's kind of strange, isn't it? It gets better, it gets better. Declare is a verb in this verse. And it's not in the past tense, it's not in the future tense, it's in the present tense. That is, the heavens are declaring as we sit here today, and the sky is proclaiming the creative work of God. We still see that work, don't we? Don't we? You know, pollution, etc., gets in the way sometimes. But that's just a reminder that Jesus is coming at any moment when we see more pollution. I don't know why I said that. But it's just got to know that God has a reason, and our world, you know, is spiraling out of control, not because of God. God has a plan, and his plan is to restore. His plan is to give hope and to restore. But, okay, the heavens are declaring, the sky is proclaiming. God's creative work has been a continual, underscore that word, encircle that word, a continual display since creation. Let's read verses 3 and 4 again of Psalm 19. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line, which means sound or voice, has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So what we see and hear in nature is meant to constantly, to continually show the world that God exists, and to tell the world how amazing our Creator truly is. So what about what David heard? What continue? What is going on? The heavens constitute the ongoing testimony to the glory of God. Do you believe it? God has filled the heavens with his ongoing testimony for his glory. And again, some of you might be thinking, but you know, David saw that and he was living in 1000 BC. Look at verse 2 of Psalm 19. Day unto day utter speech. There's that continual showing and announcing of God's glory. So day unto day is a continual occurrence where it utters speech. The heavens utter speech. And utters in the Hebrew means a pouring out, a flowing out. And it's a sound like a bubbling brook. Amy, Sarah, or Nancy, do you want to give? Yeah. I was looking at the wrong table for Sarah and Nancy. I'm seeing you in different positions, different places. Okay.
I just wanted to share from a scientific perspective. I think it's so cool. So background radiation that actually proves that the universe had a beginning is microwave radiation. And it's on that spectrum that is a wave, it is a voice, it is a word.
And it's
so
a line.
The stars themselves, it's a line through space, right? The stars themselves say that our universe had a starting point. So even the secular scientific world recognizes that because the evidence from creation,
right.
They don't attribute it to the right creator.
Right, and they don't say God is eternal or if there was a God.
I think it's so cool just that even from the scientific side,
that's great. Great. Thanks, Amy. So, taking note of that as you're talking to your neighbor scientists or the scientists that you run into, wherever God has allowed you to run into. No, that's important. And then it says, a night unto night, again, continual occurrence, reveals knowledge. And that is present tense again. It reveals knowledge, and that's God's knowledge, God's eternal knowledge. Verse 3 says, there's no speech, which means no word, no utterance. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Is this not amazing when we think of our Creator God? God bless you, please. And what he has gifted us with to lead us to himself. Then it says in verse 4, their line, just like Amy was mentioning, their line, which means an unbroken, it's a line that binds together the message that is going out, which is the announcement of God's glory. This line, this message has gone out through all the earth, and their words, their declarations to the end of the world. So the entire earth is receiving this message and understanding it in their language. Have you ever had someone like I had, Bobby and I had a relative ask us years ago, and when we shared the gospel with her, she said, what about the people in Japan? Have you been asked that question? Okay. Oh man, is this great? These are great passages to share with someone. God's glory, who he is, has gone over the entire world. Okay. There was a preacher, a German Protestant theologian that was cited by C.H. Spurgeon in one of Spurgeon's articles, sermons. This guy's name is August Tholuck, and he lived in 1799 to 1877. And he wrote that though all preachers on earth should grow silent and every human mouth cease from publishing the glory of God, the heavens above will never cease to declare and proclaim his majesty and glory. They, the heavens, are forever preaching, for like an unbroken chain, that line that we were talking about, their message is delivered from day to day and from night to night. So when we pray for the people that many of the martyred Christians have been going to and sharing Jesus, maybe have never heard, pray for them. And praise God, that God is making them aware of who he is. But we're going to add on to that in just a little bit. But the glory of God in the visible heavens is communicating to all mankind, no matter their language. So, observations, what are you thinking about this? You know, one word, two words, not a paragraph.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, that's what I mean, one word, okay. I don't think we need microphones, but what other comments? And you know what? Are we saying this to God? Yeah, we're saying, wow, God, thank you.
Magnificent.
Magnificent.
Undeniable.
What was, okay, majesty, and I heard something way back.
Undeniable.
Oh, okay. Is that right? That sounds so right. No, that sounds so right. Okay. Undeniable. Okay, great. Overwhelmed. I'm telling you, this morning when I was going over some of the notes, just couldn't do all of them before I left, but thought, Lord, I mean, it's just such a delight to read these verses and to now know what, because I go to Blue Letter Bible, remember, we've got to find what the original language says these verses mean, and of course this is done in the Hebrew. But it's magnificent. We are humbled. We bow down before God. And then we think of, when I'm thinking of Psalm 19, 1 through 4, I think of what the Apostle Paul, he expanded upon what King David wrote. In Romans 1, Apostle Paul explained that God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. I love those words. When I first read them as a new believer, I thought, wow, is this who you are, God? Your invisible attributes. And I was learning a little bit about attributes are clearly seen, and you've given this to us on earth, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And Paul told us that because God's testimony had gone out through all creation, all men have seen that, it's been displayed to them, they are hearing them, then man is without excuse for rejecting God, who gave us such clear and beautiful evidence of his power. I knew of some missionaries back in New Jersey. They weren't missionaries to New Jersey, although Jersey could use the missionaries. But they were in missionaries to Papua New Guinea. And they shared that God had led them to one of the remote tribes. And when they shared, the missionary shared that Jesus, about Jesus, the people in that tribe were so excited and responded, when they heard his name is Jesus, they responded with, oh, that's his name. Oh, that's his name. Wow. So through, God was sending out these missionaries to the people who truly hunger, who were being shown the glory of God and who he is. And then the missionaries had been given the privilege to share Jesus with them. And they became believers. Not the missionaries, they were believers already. The tribal people became believers. And that's what God does. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. And it's under the heading of general revelation and special revelation. But we're not there yet. I want to go over Romans 1, 18 to 20. It says, for the wrath of God, now you know, as I mentioned, I think the first week, that you will hear people say, well, you know, the Old Testament is just full of God's wrath, but the New Testament is just so loving. Well, here I'm reading in the New Testament, for the wrath of God, okay, the wrath of God is revealed. Going back to the wrath of God, that's God's righteous anger. Because we know now about his attributes, and his attributes include holiness. Our holy God must deal with sin at any level. So the wrath of God is revealed, it's laid open, it's disclosed to us from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, who hold down the truth in their unrighteousness. And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting phrase. These men are holding down the truth in their unrighteousness. They're the ones that are suppressing it. So, Kathy, read on, verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest. It's made evident. It's displayed unto them. For God has shown it to them. The truth has been made known to all. For since the creation of the world, and we're given a time frame there, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. And you probably have in your handout, this is on page 2, and I want to look it up on where I am thinking you are. Yeah, it's at the last paragraph on the end of page 2. Where it says in parentheses, God shows us something of his eternal power and divine nature. Cross out that something, that word something of. God shows us his eternal power and divine nature. Kathy, why did you write something of his eternal power and divine nature? Okay. And it's being understood. What God has manifested to the world is being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Those who do not accept who God is are without defense because God has made himself known. Okay. Any questions concerning that? Comments? Good, good. Then look at Romans 1, 21 to 23, and showing us why they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, that's a profound statement right there, but that's more of a, again, they are knowing, they are perceiving, they've been given knowledge about God, more mindset-wise. Yet, they suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. They did not glorify him as God. That says a lot to us, we who are taking this class on the glory of God, how important glorifying God is to God. It matters to God. And you know what? Because it matters to God, it should matter to us. And those who were suppressing the truth were not thankful, but became futile. Futile means useless. I was going to say something with youth. That's not right, Kathy. That's uselessness, worthlessness. In their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The word for foolish in the Greek means without understanding, and believe it or not, means stupid. Okay. Professing to be wise, those who were suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness, they were professing to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God. God, there's no corruption within God. He's a perfect God. Into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So to these people, the creator has become the creation. So the problem is not that man did not know of God, but man did know of God, is what I want to say there. But they refused. They refused to glorify him as God. Instead of glorifying him as God, they transformed him into the creation. So are we becoming more familiar with the glory of God to the extent that it goes? And again, we will never get to the depth of it this side of heaven. But the heavens and the earth, all that is in heaven and in the earth, were designed to be a channel through which God reveals himself. Creation is a revelation from God because it's constant, it's continual, and response is expected. So I'm going now to cover a little bit of the book of Job. How many of you have read the book of Job? Okay. Job and Abraham were contemporaries, you probably knew that, placing them before Moses, so that's their time frame. And the book of Job contains several chapters that speak to what nature can teach us about God, as well as God's special intervention in our lives, right? So in Job 38, God spoke to Job. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And God asked, where were you, Job? Because Job has been a little kvetchy. You know what that means, a little kvetchy. He's been a kvetch. He's been complaining. And so God says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And Job did not, could not tell him. Then God draws Job's attention to the ocean shoreline and said, I set a bolt and doors. Thus far you shall come, but no further. God is telling the ocean floor, right? How many of you like the ocean? Do you swim in the ocean? Do you like to swim in the ocean? Okay. You visit the ocean? Okay. Have you ever noticed that the ocean tide, when it throws itself upon the beach, it never changes the shoreline? The shoreline doesn't change. Okay. God put the ocean in sand. This I didn't know, had no clue. And the sand can sustain the movement of the waters without eroding the shoreline. So, what do you think of that? That's pretty amazing. Susan?
Especially when you think of the Grand Canyon, what water can do.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
You might want to say that again. So
yeah, because that's a good point.
I was thinking, especially when you think of the Grand Canyon and what water can do as far as eroding, that is amazing.
Yes. Doesn't erode the shoreline. Then Job 38, 12 through 13, God tells us that he causes the sun to rise every day with precision. Don't we take that for granted? You know, I mean, we know that there are different times because of the orbits and because of the rotation and all that, but he causes the sun to rise every day. So some people might say, but it's cloudy out. Like the sun is still up there. But in Job 38:22, God asked Job, have you entered the treasury of snow? How many of you have read this in the past? Or have you seen the treasury of hail?
Whoa.
Isn't that what your appetite is? You can't just read that verse and not read what follows. Which I have reserved for the time of trouble. For the time of battle and war, whoa, I'm thinking that's foreboding when God told Job that, you know. Have you entered, Job, he's asking, have you entered the storehouses of the snow or have you seen the storehouses of the hail? How many of you have thought much about the storehouses of snow and the storehouses of hail? Which maybe we don't in Arizona so much, in southern Arizona. But which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war, and that's in the future. And you know, hail, and I put this in your handout, hail is frequently seen as a tool of judgment. Yeah, it's below the middle part of page 3. Hail is frequently a tool of judgment that God uses against enemies, and you see the verses for that. He used hail against Egypt, and I checked out these verses, and you can read them in your study time. He used hail against the Canaanites, against apostate Israel, Israel veering from God, and Gog and Magog are going to be plagued with hail, fire, and brimstone in the future. The war of Gog and Magog has not yet occurred, but it is going to occur. In God's time frame for bringing Israel to the place of restoration. Okay? And when that great earthquake happens during the war of Gog and Magog, and Iran, Turkey, and Russia are wiped out, okay, by that earthquake and hail, fire, and brimstone, this God does to magnify himself. This is in the book of Ezekiel. You'll find in Ezekiel 38. But in the book of Ezekiel, 63 times God says, I will make myself known. Then you will know that I am God when I do these things. Okay? Job saw God in creation. Oh, I've got to go back to these hailstones, because hailstones, one more thing. In Revelation 16, it's mentioned that in when the seventh bowl in the book of Revelation, and we read this in Revelation 16, is poured out on the earth, great hail will fall down on the earth the size of a talent. You know how big that is? 75 pounds. A hailstone, 75 pounds. God's not kidding around. You know, not kidding around. And I think maybe that's something that we had a conversation with some people. It says that we're telling us that they need to take God seriously. This would be a good passage. You know, 75-pound hailstone. God means what he says. The glory of God matters to God, and it should matter to us. So when Job saw God in creation, and when God intervened with Job personally, spoke with Job personally, Job was humbled and said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And Job glorified God because of what God revealed about himself to Job. And that is a response, that is his response to the revelation of God. So we're coming to, we're coming to almost open Q&A time, but general revelation and special revelation. How many of you have heard about that in the past, general and special? Okay, not that many, okay. General revelation and special revelation are two ways that God has chosen to reveal himself, his glory, all who he is to humanity. General revelation refers to the general truth that can be known about God through nature. And I think that you probably picked that up from what we've said thus far, his eternal power and Godhood. Special revelation refers to the more specific truths. The missionaries after the remote tribe had noticed the creation and knew that there was a being that was magnificent, that was awe-inspiring, but they did not know about Jesus until the missionaries came. So special revelation, more specific truths that can be known about God through the supernatural. I'd say it was supernatural that God sent those missionaries to that tribe in Papua New Guinea, you know, who were hungering and thirsting for knowing more about this being, this divine being. And perhaps a working definition of general revelation is this: the revelation of God to all people at all times and in all places, that proves that God exists and that he is intelligent, powerful, and transcendent. Because don't you know some people who say, are not believers yet, say, man, I know there is a God. I know there is a God, and you know, we saw this, we saw that. And then you talk to some people, who might be friends, neighbors, who have no indication of any interest in knowing about a supreme being. So general revelation is something that all humanity has received. Just take note of it, okay? And how does each person respond? Special revelation can be defined as that supernatural communication from God. God directly speaks, or I should say God directly reveals himself to us. And it can include physical appearances of God, dreams. I know people who have dreams today about God. And visions, I know people who have visions today about God. The written word of God, and most importantly, Jesus, right? Special revelation. And you've got a bevy of examples in your handout with Bible references. God speaking to Adam and Eve, God speaking to Abraham, and you can go through that in your study time. And haven't you been aware of that special revelation that has impacted people who and has brought them to salvation? Okay. And we need to know that, again, the Bible is a form of that special revelation. God miraculously guided the authors, the human authors of Scripture, to correctly record his message to mankind while he still used their personalities and their styles. And we read last week, the Word of God is living and active. It's powerful. We read that too in that verse in Hebrews 4:12. And the Word of God is inspired and it's profitable and sufficient. The ultimate form of God's special revelation is Emmanuel, Jesus, God the Son. And to summarize, I would say Hebrews 1:1-3, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that would summarize it best regarding God the Son. God the Son, 100% God, 100% human. One person, fully God, fully man. Two natures, inseparable. But Hebrews 1:3 talks about his Son, through whom also God made the worlds. And his Son Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image, the exact representation of God the Father, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The way one responds to Jim, just listen to this, it's underscored in your handout, right at the bottom of page 4. The way one responds to general revelation might lead to special revelation. Okay. I was intrigued with Jesus for 12 years, and God brought into my life two youth leaders at a very liberal Protestant church, very liberal, and they were believers. I didn't even know what believer meant, and they were the ones who brought us down, three of us down to Billy Graham Crusade. And then it went on from there. You can think of things in your own life and your friends' lives, how they came to. It's wonderful to hear testimonies, isn't it? To hear how people have come to know the Lord. Because what does it do? It glorifies God. Glorifies God. So, to summarize all this, God gives us revelation. And this is the very end. God gives us revelation through nature, through his creation, through his broadcasting, that we need something outside of ourselves to face eternity and to face a God who will judge, who deserves to judge, okay? But we're dead in our trespasses and sins, we're told in Ephesians 2. 1 and 2, and we're unable to know truth unless it is revealed to us by God through special revelation. We can only be saved by hearing and believing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Furthermore, the word of God must focus on the person and work of Jesus. It must, because we're saved by no other name under heaven. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it tells us that in Acts 4:12. So, to sum things up, again, my further summation, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How glorious, bottom line, how glorious of God that his display of himself to all resonates among those in a tribe in Papua New Guinea. And resonated in our hearts, in the way we came to know Jesus, and in friends and neighbors' hearts, relatives' hearts. So maybe you can ask those people in your life that maybe don't know how God has been speaking to them. Just something about what we've been learning today and how has God spoken to you, and get a conversation going. I pray that this is soul-stirring to all of our hearts and minds, who God is. Again, this study is all about God. If you wanted to come to a study that was going to, you know, be about you, then sorry. But it is in that we are here to glorify God, aren't we? And God gives us such peace and joy in knowing Him more so each and every day. Okay, it's question and answer time, so if you have questions.
I can say one thing.
Okay.
In Psalm 19, I just think it's really cool when in the Old Testament reference is made to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when it keeps repeating there, T-H-E-I-R.
Right.
I just think that's so cool.
Yeah. And you know the best section that is per capita in my mind in the Old Testament regarding the Trinity is Isaiah 48, verses 12 through 16. Just jump that down and use that in defense of the Trinity.
Did David do that? I mean, did David make reference to the three Godhead?
You know what? That's a good question, but let me take a minute. When you read Psalm 23, no, read Psalm 22, 23, and 24 as units, and you see the Son, and you see the Holy Spirit and the Father as well. And there are plenty of other verses like that. Okay. Marion, Sarah's in that before you meet them.
I just wanted to share with this group that many years ago, my husband and I were in a couples group at Valley Christian Community Church, a local church, and Ron Evans was in our small group. He was the commander of Apollo 17, and he walked out of the capsule, and he felt so elated that by standing in space, he didn't want to get back into the capsule. And he was definitely a believer.
Wow.
So that was pretty powerful.
Yeah, he did. He was.
I mean, think of it. That's a little scary. To go out and, you know, the shuttle in the door and you're attached to your, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. No, that's important. Wow. And Aaron, do you have a question? Or maybe I just look in his hand.
I was thinking that when there are people throughout the world that haven't heard that Jesus.
Okay, put it more to your mouth.
There are people around the world that have not heard about Jesus. And I had was on a conference call with the evangelism ministry here, and their subject was Romans 15:21.
It's what was the book?
Romans 15:21, where it says, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand.
Context being when?
I'm sorry, what?
Context, I would have to say, what is the context of Romans 15? Is it the future?
Pretty interesting, and I'm so glad
God, that we are believers, and celebrate the glory of God. The peach color changing into every day and make a difference. And in the minute, last week was beautiful to watch. So if you have trouble believing in God, just look around you. Just really look. And then changing the subject just a little bit. You know, we never know what we're going to deal with in this world. So today was a test of your flexibility. Where is my table? And see, we even confused Kathy. So go with this. We're trying to accommodate everyone, and sometimes you say, oh, why this or that, but sometimes there are women who can't hear as well, and I don't know why, but sitting in a certain part of the room helps them. Or there are women who are undergoing a medical treatment, maybe need to be a little bit away. So just go with us. Remember your table leader's name and remember your table number. And if not, I have a list. And I'll help you out. So.
Because it was, seemed to be all in hand, right?
Yes.
Last week when you were emailing.
Yes.
Well, the people.
Yeah. God gives you different.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's
yeah.
Fine. So remember your table leader, remember your table.